The scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. It is indeed a privilege to be here this morning and to share with you. If you're visiting with us this morning, I just want, visiting or not visiting, if you're a regular member, I just want to let you know that I've been praying for you since March the 24th. And the reason is that was the day that Pastor Allen approached me and said, are you going to be here on Canada Day, Sunday? And I would like you to share if you're going to be here. So since then, I've been praying for you. I've been also been praying for myself, and I've been asking my friends to pray for us so that we can look at this text a little bit. What I would like this morning is to take a few moments to go through the context a little bit. We want to look at what it means to abide. We want to also look at why do we abide? And finally, in terms of what are some of the applications. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for being here. And we thank you for, we think of our members of our congregation, Pastor Allen, and others who are traveling this morning, Pastor Allen, who is in Bolivia. Pray, Lord, that where they are, wherever they are, that you'll meet with them. And I pray for this moment that we are going to look at your text, Lord. I pray above all for your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that you would give me the right words, and, Lord, that you would work through the words and whatever gaps I have, that you would fill in the gaps through the power of your Holy Spirit and help us understand what it means to abide in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Context, when Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. In fact, there are seven statements in the Bible starting with I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the last one that we're going to look at this morning, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him and her, he and she will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a little bit the context. In terms of the background, I was thinking that was my phone, but hopefully it's not mine, because I made sure I turned it off this morning. In terms of the background, the disciples have been with Jesus in the upper room. They've been celebrating the Passover, and they were making their way eastward toward the Garden of Gethsemane. At this time, the disciples were extremely anxious, and they were perplexed and confused, and they didn't know what would happen. So what we see in chapters 15 and chapter 17, 15 to 17 of John, it was meant to calm them down. It was meant to make them, to encourage them. It was meant to prepare them. And this idea, last week, Beth spoke about the need for metaphors, the need for images. And here we have another image. It is an allegory. Basically what it is an expanded metaphor. It is interesting that Christ, when he speaks of himself, he says, I am the true vine. Now, if someone were to come to you and say to you, you know what? I am a true friend. What this person is trying to do is trying to make a difference, to say, you may have lots of friends, but I am a true friend. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, what he was saying, he said, this is genuine. It is not fictitious. It is not imaginative. It is not counterfeit. It is real. I am the true vine. And what that speaks about, it spoke about another vine. In Isaiah, the vine is represented as the children of Israel. And in Isaiah, it says, let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning this vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. And then in Psalm 90, there's also the image of the vineyard. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. What was happening at that time was that what we can see is that that vine, which is the nation of Israel, had failed. And we are going to see this a few moments later, in less than 24 hours, when the children of Israel, they are going to crucify the king, Christ. So Jesus was telling them at that time, I am the true vine. What does it mean? At the beginning of the text, Jesus says, I am the vine, but the Father is the vine dresser. From the get-go, he says that. And for me, this is radical theology, because what it speaks about a relationship, the relationship between Jesus and his Father. And the statement that the Father will take care of the vine, just as Jesus will take care of us. And it comes with a promise. A promise that if we stick to the vine, if we are the branches, if we stick to the vine, Christ, as the vine keeper, will keep us safe. What does it mean? We hear the word abide, and in fact, in this text, this is an expression, abide in me, abide in me. It is mentioned 8 times. It means to connect, to draw upon, to rely, to depend. In some version of the Bible, you're going to find that abide is replaced by the word to remain. Abide in me, remain in me. It means to stay, to stick with it. It means to wait. In the idea of abiding, there is the idea of waiting. The one thing we know that if we don't abide, we become failures. And this is really another type of, which is something that is really radical. If we do not abide with Christ, we can accomplish nothing. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Paul Washer, who is an American preacher, he says that by looking at this text, we have the impression that we are looking through a keyhole. Just looking at this text. Because it opens up a whole different view of what it means to be a Christian. And he says, abiding in Christ must mean that we understand that Jesus is the only source from which we receive life. That without him, we become spiritually withered and dead. And that is the only way in which we can bear meaningful fruit that counts from eternity. And he adds, this understanding then brings us to desperately cling unto him by seeking him through prayer and hungering for his words. Why do we abide? There's a number, if you look at the text, there's a number of promises within this text. One of them, it is the promise that leads to full joy. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. It means full joy. And if we don't abide, we are thrown away. So the first thing we know, one of the first things that we learn, abiding leads to full joy. To be honest with you, as I go to work day by day, I realize how much of a lack of joy I need. My joy, I don't know about you, but for me, I realize that my joy is not complete yet. I need to keep working at it. I need to keep abiding so that that joy could be complete. Another promise. It says, If you abide in me, you will bear fruits. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide with me. Now, I'm repeating this over and over and over about this abiding in me, because this is what the text says. And Jesus, trying to encourage his disciples, and then today trying to encourage us, repeats this over and over and over. Abide in me. What type of fruits are we talking about? The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm lacking all of these. I get so impatient at work. I do not have peace. And at times, when I'm driving, I'm not very kind either. But Jesus says, if you abide in me, these are the fruits that will come out of your life. These are the fruits that you will bear, and people will notice. And you wonder, you know, how do I do this? The good thing about this text is that Jesus says, if you abide in my word, my Father is the vine dresser. He will produce the fruits. It's not ourselves. We just go about and start producing fruits. Jesus says, don't worry about the fruits. Abide in my word. Abide in me. The result is that you're going to produce fruits. Because he is the vine dresser. And this is something that, as I was reading this text since March 24th, and I was reading this text at least once a week or listening to it, the one thing I realized is that the way I prayed completely changed. Because it says, if you pray, if you abide in me, your prayer will be answered. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done unto you, to you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I find this extremely amazing, to be honest with you. I used to pray for a number of things. When I read this, I just stopped praying about these things. I said, Lord, I just pray that you would help me bear fruits. Now, in terms of some of the application, how do we abide? So we've seen there is, first of all, there's nothing we can do, number one. Number two, there is the promise that the vine dresser will take care of us. There is the promise of a fruitful life. There's also the promise of answered prayer. If you abide in me, you can ask whatever you desire. It will be given to you because you abide in me and my words abide with you. Ask, I will answer your prayer. The first thing, how do we abide in terms of application? Remember, it just says abide. And here we have a verse And this verse stuck with me. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." I chose you. We are here this morning because Christ chose us to be here. We read about, we sung about earlier on about the relentless love, about the relentless pursuit, that there's no wall, there won't be any obstacle that Jesus will not climb to get to us. Because why? Because the first thing is that He chose us. You did not choose me. I chose you and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. We tend to forget about this every Monday. We remember it on Sunday. But when it comes to Monday, when we get to the office, when we get to our places of work, even when we get home, we get irritated by our children or family members, we forget about this. But Christ says, "I chose you." Abide in me. Abide in Him. Quit running around. Settle down. And listen. Listen to the heartbeat of God. How do we abide? Time. Chuck Swindoll says, like the fruit tree, like the fruit of the tree, growing God's character, and this character is patience, loving kindness, the fruits we mentioned earlier on. It says the one thing you need is time. If you want to grow these fruits, you need to spend the time. Let me ask you this question, and this is a question I ask myself. Do we have enough time? Do we have time? We always say we are running out of time. I'm going to make a confession. How many of us watched the Raptors over the last couple of weeks? As I was reading this text, I at the same time as I was reading this text, I jumped on the bandwagon as well. But as I was watching the Raptors winning or losing, whatever it was, I remember these words, "Abide in me." I had to get away from the TV. Just to spend at least a few moments to read the Word. I'm going to say for myself, I believe we have more time that we need. You know how you spend your time. I know how I spend my time. Do we have more time to spend with God? I just leave it with you. Spending more time. Two things. When we think about time, when you start talking about time to Christians, brothers and sisters, they always say the same thing to you. I need to spend more time. But very often, they see it as, I need to spend an hour. I am going to get up earlier. I need to get up earlier in the morning because I want to spend 1 hour. But we don't do it, do we? Because very often, we see it as an all or nothing. Either I spend an hour or I spend nothing. Oh, I cannot spend an hour, so I won't spend any time. It is not an all or nothing proposition. We can spend more time. Many among us here, some of us among us, are originally from the Philippines. There was a missionary who went to the Philippines known as Frank Loback. Does that ring a bell? Now, what he did, he wanted to reach out to the Muslims in the Philippines. And he was big on literacy. From 1884, 1970. That's his life. And this is what he said. He said, I have one purpose in my life. And he writes in his journal, Letters to a Modern Mystic. He said, there's one thing I want to do. I want to be able to spend a whole day thinking about God. Just one day. That was his mission. And he journaled, and he writes about it in his journal. And he says this, but this year I have started out trying to live all my waking moments in conscious listening to the inner voice, asking without ceasing, Father, what do you desire said? Father, what do you desire done this minute? And he says this, we shall not become like Christ until we give him more time. I mentioned earlier on that it's often an all or nothing proposition. There's something else we talk about. We said, we want to study the Bible more. We want to study the Bible. I would suggest we don't need to study the Bible. I have shared with you several times when I've had a chance to be here about my parents. My parents, they only had grade 3 education. They didn't study the Bible, but they did one thing. They just read the Bible. That's all they did. My mom read only one book in her whole life. It was the Bible every single morning. She didn't study the Bible, she just read it. I would suggest, just read it. Just read the Word. Because in Colossians it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom for psalm, hymns, and song from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Just read the Word. That's all you need to do. Forget about thinking about other preachers, about other textbooks. If you would just stick with reading the Word and remembering the Word, remember, the vine dresser will take care of it. If my words remain in you, you will bear fruits. If we would just commit to reading the Word, if we would just commit to thinking about the vine dresser, about Christ, about his promise to us. In closing, I would say another idea of abiding, the word abide. If you think of the word abode in English, it talks about dwelling. It speaks about staying in one place. And everybody knows Psalm 90. Lord, you've been, that's Moses saying that, after having wandered through the desert, he comes back and he says, Lord, you've been a dwelling place from generation to generation. Lord, you've been our dwelling place from generation to generation. That psalm, my parents read that to me every single day. My dad read that to me every single day. And still today, this is a psalm that I learned. I know the whole psalm in French. Not because I studied the word, because my parents just read it to me. Yesterday, I was going along. I was thinking about the song. Lord, you've been a shelter to every generation. And throughout the day yesterday, that song stuck with me. Lord, you've been a shelter to every generation. My parents' generation, my generation. On closing, I would say, very often, Frank, we pray, as we spend time praying, we are too quick. And Frank Loback, I mentioned earlier, he says, prayer at its earliest, at its highest, is a two-way conversation. And for me, the most important part is listening to God's replies. The trouble with nearly everybody who prays is that he or she says amen and runs away before God has a chance to reply. Listening to God is far more important than giving him our ideas. Very often our prayer, I don't know about you, but for me, very often my prayer is just about giving God my ideas. Just sharing it with him, my ideas, and then I run away. I don't know what your past week looked like. I don't know what you're thinking of doing for the rest of the day. I don't know what you plan to do for the rest of the week. But the call from Jesus is this. That's the promise. Abide in me. Abide in my words. I will abide in you. Do you have health issues? Abide. Do you have relationship issues? Abide. Do you have a job? Don't you have a job? Abide. Is your boss giving you a hard time? Abide. Just read the word. The vine dresser is Christ. Just as there is that relationship between Christ and the Father, Jesus says, you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to be my disciples. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning, Father. And my prayer, Lord, is that I won't be just a speaker of your word, but that I would allow your word to dwell richly in me. Father, continue. We thank you for the way that you've appointed us, that you've chosen us. Continue to journey with us, Father. Continue to pursue us, Father. Continue to climb the mountains to touch us, to touch our lives, Lord. And continue, Father, to look after the vine, to look after the branches, and to allow us to bear the fruit so that we can glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.